What's going on, everybody? Thursday night, Solid Monster here, talking Royal Rumble predictions. Hope you guys are doing well. Rare Thursday night stream. And, you know, my earliest Royal Rumble memory, when I think back to what is the first thing I can remember when it comes to the Royal Rumble as a kid, I can remember six-year-old me being shocked that Axe and Smash drew numbers 1 and 2 to enter the Royal Rumble match. This would have been in 1989. And I just remember thinking, this can't be. These guys are partners. They were tag team champions at the time. How are you going to put these two guys in the ring together and have them fight? And this was just an amazing thing for me. For a six-year-old, it was an amazing thing. I think of 1990. The face-off with Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, any longtime fans, you guys know what a big deal that was at that time. The two biggest baby faces in the entire company coming nose-to-nose, the crisscross spot, double clothesline, down they go. That would set up the main event of WrestleMania VI. I remember that. I remember in 92, I remember at school, on our lunch break, there was a payphone, which I know is a foreign concept to some of you younger kids watching this right now. But yes, there used to be these things called payphones. It was like a booth that you would go into to make a phone call. And I remember a whole bunch of kids from my class were kind of crowding into this phone booth. I mean, people were spilling out of the phone booth. And they're trying to listen to someone on the other end of the line. And I couldn't figure out who they were listening to. I said to somebody, "What's going on?" They had called a wrestling hotline to find out who was going to win the Royal Rumble that year. And I remember this guy, Michael. I remember his first and last name. Comes out of the phone booth and says, "Ric Flair is going to win the Royal Rumble." And I was like, "Ric Flair is going to win the Royal Rumble. How does he know that?" But that weekend, when I went over, I think we watched it at my grandparents' place, and we're all sitting around watching the Rumble, and Flair comes out at number 3, and I said, "That's who's going to win the Royal Rumble." And they all had different answers. My grandfather said, "No, it's going to be Hogan." My father thought it was going to be Piper. Boy, did I look smart when Ric Flair won the Royal Rumble. I had the cheesiest grin on my face after that. I remember thinking what an idiot Randy Savage was in 93 when he tried to pin Yokozuna at the end of the Rumble match and got thrown out over the top rope like an idiot. Even back then, younger me knew what a stupid thing that was for him to do. You would think somebody who had been there as a veteran for so long would know that there are no pinfalls in a Royal Rumble. Remember in 94, I was so pissed when Jack Tunney made the call that Bret Hart and Lex Luger would be co-winners of the Royal Rumble. I remember thinking, why don't you just restart the match? Just restart the match from that point. And the first person to go out over the top rope wins the match. It's the same thing they did in 2005 with John Cena and Batista. That's the way it should have been done in 94. So it's no wonder people would boo Jack Tunney when he would come out. Nobody liked him. The point is, the Royal Rumble has always been my favorite annual event. And this Sunday, WWE is presenting its 34th annual Royal Rumble. This will be the first ever fan-free Royal Rumble that WWE has ever done. First time there will be nothing but virtual fans in the audience, so it won't quite be the same. And having said all of that, right, I've just told you why I'm such a big fan of the Royal Rumble. I grew up on it. A lot of fond memories of the Rumble. And despite all of that, I don't know that I have ever had less enthusiasm going into a Royal Rumble show than I do for this one here in 2021. That go-home show, that last episode of Raw on Monday night, had to be the, if not the worst, certainly one of the top two or three worst go-home episodes of a Monday Night Raw before a Rumble that WWE has ever produced. I don't see how you could go into that show on Monday night and come out of it and feel more excited about the pay-per-view this weekend. You either are a Rumble fan, you're going to look forward to it no matter what, or if anything, you came out of that show Monday night, maybe even being a little less enthusiastic. That's how bad of a job I think they have done trying to build this event this weekend. There is some sad news to open with here. Vince McMahon's brother, Rod McMahon, passed away. We learned this week, 77 years old. He passed away back on January 20th. No cause of death has been revealed. Vince McMahon was not backstage at Raw Monday night, but he was in constant communication with people behind the scenes, because of course he is. He always is. So I don't know if that's the only reason he wasn't there. There was some other reason. But in any event, Rod was not involved in the wrestling business at all. He and his wife, apparently, they owned distributor, steel and metals company down in Texas. I knew he lived in Texas because not a lot has come out about his brother over the years. The only thing I really knew about him is the fact that he was older and he lived in Texas. And that's it. There really wasn't a whole lot else that was known about this Rod McMahon. We almost got to see Rod, though, on TV. We came very, very close. The Vince McMahon limo explosion angle back in 2007. They had scheduled a mock funeral for Vince McMahon. It was going to be a special. That night was supposed to be a three-hour tribute to Vince McMahon. This was the whole show-long angle was going to be the big funeral for Vince. They were going to invite people, friends, family from his life. And I guess they had flown his brother in. I think Rod was there. He was going to be on the show that night. And that happened to be the same day that the news broke about the Benoit stuff, Chris Benoit, murder-suicide. And they abandoned the angle for obvious reasons. And we never did get to see Rod McMahon, unfortunately. But we came close to getting a debut that night. WWE Backstage, which was canceled many months ago by Fox, is coming back at least for one night only on FS1. Renee Young is going to be back hosting on Saturday night, the night before the Royal Rumble. A lot of the old cast and crew, I guess, are coming back. Paige, Booker T might be there, I'm not sure. CM Punk will not be, for whatever reasons. Maybe he wasn't invited, but CM Punk I don't think is supposed to be on. And to get people to tune in, and the reason I mention this as a gimmick to try to get people to tune into this show, they are going to give away the names of the number one and two entrants in the Women's Royal Rumble match and the number 30 entrant in the Men's Royal Rumble match. I hate when they do stuff like this. I really do. Part of the appeal of the Rumble is not knowing who's coming out when. Even when they used to do the whole bingo twirler thing and people would choose a number, and I know a lot of you guys enjoyed that, and there were some funny angles and skits that came out of it, right? The one with Eddie Guerrero and Ric Flair, he's picking people's pockets. I mean, there have been some good ones. But even that kind of annoyed me, because people would sort of give away sometimes when they were, or around when they were going to come out. I like to go into the Rumble cold. So even on those years where we know who number one, number two, number 30 is going to be, it always used to annoy me, because to me, that's part of the appeal of the Rumble. You count down, and when the buzzer goes off, you don't know who's going to come out. But they're trying to reel in viewers, I guess, for this show. And if you don't want to find out, I guess, after Saturday night, good luck. Stay off social media, because I'm sure it's going to be all over the place. And that's really the only bits of news that I wanted to get to here before we get into the card. So let's get into it. Now, obviously, I'm doing this on a Thursday night. Very possible they could add a couple of matches between now and Sunday, even tomorrow night on SmackDown. We know after Raw Monday night, Matt Riddle is in line for a shot at the United States Championship. They could add that to the Royal Rumble. I'm not going into any potential matches. I'm focusing strictly on the matches that have already been made official. Starting with the women's tag team titles, they are going to be defended. And by the way, I should mention, I am going to get to the people who sent in super chats already. Thank you to everybody who super chatted last night during the Dynamite stream. We had a great back and forth, a lot of good questions. If you have questions about the Rumble, if you have predictions of your own and you want to drop them in a super chat, I will read them. By all means, go ahead. If you want to see the special donation amounts, they're down below in the description. Otherwise, it's entirely up to you guys. But yes, I will be getting to your super chats as we go along. And hit that like button too, because I know I'm going to forget to mention that. Charlotte Flair Charlotte Flair and Asuka are going to be defending the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, the former champions. Raw on Monday night was a mess. I mean, I could say that every week, but especially on Monday night, Raw was a mess. First, we had Charlotte Flair beating Shayna Baszler in a minute by disqualification when Nia Jax got involved. Then it turned into a six-woman tag team match. It was Charlotte, Mandy Rose, and Dana Brooke against Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, and Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans, who is, of course, courting Charlotte's elderly father. She is madly in love. She is infatuated with the Nature Boy. Now, if this were even 15 years ago, let alone 25 years ago, 30 years ago, Nature Boy styling and profiling, right? I can believe it. Ladies' man, Space Mountain, all that shit. Ric Flair now is, I mean, come on. I'll be nice, but as unbelievable as this storyline is, now look, if the idea is that Lacey Evans is a gold digger and she wants to go after Ric Flair's fortune, she's after his money, even that doesn't make any sense because Ric Flair owes alimony to about four different women. Ric Flair has no money. Ric Flair gets money from WWE. It comes in, it immediately goes out. Ric Flair has no money. What he has to offer, it's not about what he has to offer. I guess she's doing it to get back at Charlotte. It's like Dawn Marie and Al Wilson. Maybe she went after Al Roker too. I don't fucking know. But it's a similar type of story. I don't really care for it. But she was there on Monday night as well. But that ended in 3 minutes when the referee, it was referee John Cone on Monday night, counted Shayna Baszler out of the ring. Shayna had thrown one of the baby faces inside, but she did not make it back into the ring in time. So the referee called it like a shoot, which I guess is the way they're conditioned to officiate these matches, is that call it like a real match. And in this case, if somebody doesn't make it back into the ring in time, oh well. You don't hold up the count, you count them out. If somebody is kicking too much ass and forgets themselves and doesn't break by a count of five, you disqualify them. So they all look lost. Nobody knew what the hell was going on. They didn't know what to do. So they go to a commercial break. When they come back, Adam Pearce had ordered the match to restart because both teams had agreed they didn't want the match to end that way. And so now Charlotte Flair is wrestling in her, I think it was third match in the span of 5 minutes on Monday night. That is a great little microcosm of how Raw went on Monday night. Charlotte Flair's third match in 5 minutes. Nia Jax pinned Dana Brooke to give the heels the win. I think it is asinine that after all these months, and they've already been tag team champions before, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are still a team. I find it incredibly frustrating that Shayna Baszler is still relegated to a tag team with Nia Jax. She cannot get out of it. They have no better ideas for her. She is still linked with this woman. This is apparently the best they can come up with for her. I understand they don't have a lot of teams for their tag team division. That's not Shayna Baszler's fault. I don't think that she should be handcuffed to Nia Jax for the rest of the year. So that's bad enough. I see no point in putting the titles back on a team that shouldn't even exist in the first place. Unless you're going to immediately transition them off to a different babyface team, I don't see what purpose that serves. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they had their run. There's no need to put the belts back on them on Sunday. Now, I assume, because we have a women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic that's ongoing, I think they've indicated the winners would get maybe they haven't. I'm just assuming because the men's tournament, the winners are going to get an NXT Tag Team title match. There are no NXT Women's Tag Team titles, so the winners of the Dusty Classic on the women's side, I would imagine, would be in line for a shot at the WWE women's tag team titles. We've been told before that the women's champions can float like a ghost from one show to the other. What else are you going to give them? You're going to give them a trophy? Who cares? You can take your trophy and stick it where the sun don't shine. The winners of the Dusty Classic should get a tag team title match. So I think the Dusty Classic outcome is going to potentially play a role in how this match ends on Sunday. Now, I have Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. They're my pick to win the tournament. They are, in my opinion, the best team in the tournament. I guess Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, they're a team as well. Could be either one of those teams. It just depends. Do they want a heel team winning or do they want a babyface team winning? I think it's going to be Dakota and Raquel. I would keep the titles on Charlotte and Asuka for a few more weeks, and I would have them drop the belts to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Because even Charlotte and Asuka have an expiration date. We know they're not going to be tag team champions for that much longer. At some point between now and WrestleMania, probably now in Fastlane, now in the Elimination Chamber, that partnership is going to deteriorate. They're going to drop the belts at some point. It's just a matter of to who and when. But I would have it be to Raquel and Dakota. And have that be the end of the Charlotte and Asuka team. I think the outcome of this match depends on who wins that tournament. If it is Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, I mean, if they're going to be the ones who go over here, then I would say Nia and Shayna win the belts back just to transition them over to them. That would be the only reason I could see to put the belts back on the two of them. But my prediction is Charlotte and Asuka retain. This is, after all, a prediction stream. That is my prediction for this match. Charlotte is still listed as being in the 30-woman Royal Rumble match. So she is in the Rumble as well. Asuka is not. Asuka is the Raw Women's Champion. She will not be in the Rumble. Lacey Evans. Look, Lacey Evans could get involved here. She could show up with Ric Flair. They could distract Charlotte. It could lead to a loss. Absolutely, it could happen here in this match. But I actually think we have Lacey eliminate Charlotte in the Rumble match instead. That's what I'm thinking. Let's stick with the women. Sasha Banks defends the SmackDown Women's Championship. Peanut Butter Vader time. Super chat, Alex Jimenez, thank you. Peanut Butter Vader time. Sasha defends against Carmella. We've already seen this match before a couple of times. Sasha beat Carmella once. Was it once? There was one match, I think, that went to a no contest, but they had one previous match where Sasha won. It may have been the best match of Carmella's career. Carmella looked very good in that match. Carmella has improved. Carmella is, she's not somebody who, when you see her in the ring, she's out there embarrassing herself, looking like she can't hang, looking like she doesn't belong. So they had a good match. I expect this to be good as well. Sasha beat Reginald, the sommelier, a few weeks ago on SmackDown. He did a bunch of flips. I mean, he may as well have had both arms tied behind his back because he was only there to be a punching bag to Sasha. There is no WrestleMania match for that championship with Carmella that is as appealing as Sasha Banks defending that title, really, against any number of people. But there is no WrestleMania match for the SmackDown Women's Championship that is anywhere near the level of appealing of a Sasha Banks match defending against either Bayley or Bianca Belair. Bianca is the money match. I've been saying that for months. I'm not just saying it now because it looks like she's inching closer. I mean, you listen to the podcast, you watch the streams, you guys know this already. I've been talking about this for 2 or 3 months now. Probably even before Survivor Series. I said Bayley would make the perfect opponent for Bianca. In the interim, between now and WrestleMania, Bianca's got to beat somebody. You can't just put her in a title match. She's got to either win the Rumble or she's got to beat somebody with a name. And outside of Sasha Banks right now, there is no bigger women's name on SmackDown than Bayley. Bayley is the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. And now the two of them are locked in this program together. If at the end of it, Bianca comes out on top, she now has beaten somebody with credibility and she can now credibly go on to challenge for the title. or she could just win the Royal Rumble and punch her ticket that way. That is the money match of WrestleMania this year. It is Sasha Banks against Bianca Belair. They would be insane to take that title off of Sasha Banks right now, so I have Sasha retaining. That is my pick in the SmackDown Women's title match. Hey, Jacob Donnelly, Turtlehead, what's going on, guys? Tap out Nick. Ken terminated. Roman Reigns defends the Universal Championship against Kevin Owens in a last man standing match. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, especially the stuff that Paul Heyman has been doing on Talking Smack, have been carrying this company in many ways on their back. Roman talked about it in his promo on Friday night last week. He was teasing Adam Pearce, so maybe, you know, I'll start talking about my neck hurts, my knee hurts, my back hurts, I can't wrestle. Because my back hurts because I've been carrying the company on my back now this whole time. That's not just a worked promo. There's a lot of truth in what Roman Reigns said on SmackDown last week. Ever since Roman Reigns came back, ever since the heel turn, ever since he won the Universal title, started this whole tribal chief thing, him and Paul Heyman together, they have been the most compelling thing on SmackDown and probably the most compelling stuff on any WWE show. And Paul Heyman being able to work with other people on Talking Smack, he's been doing promo work with Kevin Owens, with Big E, with Apollo Crews. He's not just kind of cuffed to Brock Lesnar and nobody else. Has produced some really memorable segments on Talking Smack. So those two together have just been gold this entire time. Reigns and Heyman, they tried to get themselves an easy night. They wanted basically the night off. They wanted a match with Adam Pearce at the Royal Rumble. Adam Pearce hadn't wrestled a match in about 6 or 7 years. Never wrestled a match for WWE outside of one or two enhancement matches over 20 years ago. So they tried to get an easy night at the Royal Rumble. And Pierce outsmarted them. Owens took his place. This will be the third chance since last month that Kevin Owens now has to win back the Universal title. He has not been Universal Champion in, what, 4 years now? When was it when Goldberg beat him at that paper? It might have been Fastlane, right? That was 2017? 4 years since Kevin Owens has been the Universal Champion. He lost in a great TLC match to Roman Reigns last month because of the interference, constant interference by Jey Uso. He lost to Roman Reigns in a steel cage match on SmackDown, again, thanks to the assist from Jey Uso. When Roman Reigns last wrestled for the Universal title at the Royal Rumble, it was that year. It was 4 years ago, in 2017. And who did Roman Reigns challenge at the Royal Rumble for the Universal title? Kevin Owens. The roles were reversed. Kevin Owens was the champion. He was the heel champion. Roman Reigns was the babyface challenger. The roles are reversed. Now Roman is the heel champion and Kevin Owens is the babyface challenger. And if you remember in that match, there was a third player, Chris Jericho. He put the bubbly down long enough. They suspended him above the ring in a shark cage. Why? Because they had to stop him from interfering as he was doing in Kevin Owens' matches. And now we have a situation here where Jey Uso is constantly interfering in Roman's matches. I thought for sure we were maybe not a shark cage, but I thought they would have some kind of stipulation where they would try to neutralize Jey Uso. And as much as Adam Pearce has been involved in this whole storyline, I figured, well, he'll be at ringside. Maybe he'll announce that he's going to be in Owens' corner. Maybe he's going to be cuffed to Jey Uso, something like that, but they have not made any kind of announcement. Jey Uso actually hasn't been on TV, I think, the last 2 weeks. I don't think he was on SmackDown last week. We'll see if he's on the show tomorrow. I don't know what that means. I assume he'll be at the Rumble on Sunday, unless he's not allowed to be for some reason. But it is, I mean, if you think about it, though, it is, you know, insanely stupid that after all this time, WWE, Adam Pearce, whoever, hasn't made some kind of announcement about Jey Uso. I mean, he's constantly interfering in the guy's match, and they just allow it to happen. They don't take any measures or any steps to stop him, to ban him from ringside. We've seen people banned from ringside for doing a lot less than what Jey Uso has been doing. So that part of this whole story really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And maybe we will. Maybe we will see Adam Pearce get involved. I think we will. I think he'll be physically involved at some point. Jey Uso gets involved. Adam Pearce comes down, fights him off. But this is not the time for Roman Reigns to be losing the Universal Championship. Roman Reigns right now is having the best run of his career. I'm not even sure he should be losing the title at WrestleMania. He certainly shouldn't be losing it at the Royal Rumble. Kevin Owens, I like Kevin Owens. Any other time, any other situation, this is a great kind of underdog babyface story where he finally wins the big one. Now is not that time. He will not win. Roman Reigns retains. But I do have this fear. I do have this irrational fear. I just can't shake. I wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats just thinking about it. I have a fear that Kevin Owens wins the title. That's not my fear. But Kevin Owens wins the championship. Bill Goldberg wins the WWE title from Drew McIntyre. And Roman Reigns then enters himself into the Royal Rumble match. He wins the Royal Rumble. And he challenges Goldberg for the championship at WrestleMania. A match that I'm sure he would win. But I just have I have this fear. I don't think we can rule anything out. I mean, this is WWE that we're talking about here. I don't think we can rule anything out. All options are on the table. I'm going to talk about the WrestleVotes report in a little bit, too. But yes, Roman Reigns is my pick to retain the title. Which brings us to the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre defending against Bill Goldberg. And before I do get to that, let me just see what you guys are saying here in the chat. Frost says, do not wish that evil on. I'm not trying to put any evil on you. I am not trying to put any kind of evil on you. I am just letting you, I'm just stating facts here. We know the WWE, we know what they're capable of. I just have to put that out there as a possibility. Adam, $12 drop. Who is more likely to return in the Royal Rumble, Brock Lesnar or Ronda Rousey? Brock Lesnar. All right, we'll get to more of your super chats as we continue. But I do want to talk about this WWE Championship match between Drew McIntyre and Bill Goldberg. This company had a ready-made program with Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Keith Lee that they abandoned. Now, I want to make this very clear, because the reports about Goldberg coming in is that Vince McMahon didn't feel like they had any challengers set up for Drew McIntyre. They had no options, and he felt he had no choice but to bring in Bill Goldberg. Let me repeat, they had a ready-made program that they were already in the middle of involving Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, who is positioned on TV as he is in real life, as his best friend, and they had also inserted Keith Lee. And I actually found a lot of the segments enjoyable between McIntyre and Sheamus, because how often do you get to see the babyface hanging out with the heel? It kind of broke out of that formula that we usually see. And I liked it. And I was curious to see, okay, when the turn was going to come or how this was going to play out. They've abandoned that, at least until after the Raw. I'm sure they're going to come back to it. But at least for the time being, it's just on the back burner. All of the segments that were building to something, it just went away. As soon as Bill Goldberg came back, everybody else scattered, like cockroaches. WrestleVotes tweeted last week, when they made the decision for WrestleMania, though, to stretch this year again to two nights instead of one, And this is what he speculated, and I feel the same way. I wonder when they made that decision. I would be curious to know exactly when the decision was made, because when it was, in their mind, you would have to think that they made the call, we need attractions for WrestleMania. We've got to blow up whatever plans we have. I mean, let's be honest, they had no plans. This company had no fucking plans for WrestleMania. I don't even need to be there to tell you that. I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you they had no fucking plans. No firm, solid fucking plans for WrestleMania this year. They were just more concerned about whether or not they were going to have fans. I don't think they had a single match locked in 100% for WrestleMania. I'm not sure they even had anything locked in 50%. They don't think that far ahead. But once they realized that WrestleMania was going to be two nights again this year, all of a sudden they realized, well, we better come up with some ideas here for some attractions. Drew McIntyre against Sheamus is not an attraction. So Sheamus went away. Now maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe at the Rumble on Sunday, Sheamus will get involved in some way in the title match. I don't see that happening. Anything is possible. WrestleVotes, though, also claims that WWE, as a result of that decision to work two nights again this year, is now looking to have as many as four marquee matches for WrestleMania 37, two for each night. So you would have two on Saturday, and two more big matches that they could feature and promote for night two on Sunday. Now, you couple that with the news of the WWE Network being absorbed by Peacock, which I'm going to talk more in depth about on Sunday. I'm not going to get into that now. They're going to want to roll out the red carpet for this WrestleMania show this year. You know, Peacock, WrestleMania is not going to be the first show on Peacock. That's going to be Fastlane. That's going to kind of be, I think, almost like a test run for them to make sure everything's working. They work out all the kinks and they start promoting it. But WrestleMania being on Peacock is going to be a very big deal. They're going to want to roll the red carpet out. They're going to want to trot out all the big names they could possibly wrangle up. The Undertaker better have his phone on vibrate and just ignore it, because you know that everybody, all hands on deck for this WrestleMania. Vince McMahon thinks that he can use somebody. He will make the phone call and he will want them and try to get them for this show, regardless of who they are. I don't care if it's The Rock, if it's John Cena, if it's The Undertaker, if it's Triple H. All hands on deck. As much as I think Drew McIntyre and Sheamus as a WrestleMania match for the WWE title, based on how the story seemed to be progressing, would make a lot of sense, I can also see them saying, this ain't the time for it. It's not a big enough match. And that makes me very nervous. Makes me very nervous about this match. This match never made any sense from the moment Goldberg walked out on Legends Night. He walked out, he talked about Drew McIntyre. You don't respect the Legends. You look down at us. And as I pointed out, and as Drew later pointed out, he's always been very complimentary of the Legends, and Goldberg was like, well, it's what you're thinking. So now Goldberg, he's a fucking mind reader. He can read minds now. He knew what Drew McIntyre was thinking. He was thinking disrespectful things about the Legends and how much better he thinks he is than everybody else back in their day. None of this made any fucking sense from day one. And I understand that they ran out of time and Drew McIntyre was supposed to cut a promo and it was good to try to make sense of it. Even if they didn't run out of time and Drew McIntyre had cut that promo before Goldberg came out on Legends Night, it still would not have made any sense. Because Drew McIntyre, this entire run, has been built up as the quintessential heroic babyface. He has been nothing but respectful to the Legends. Nothing Goldberg said or intimated about Drew McIntyre made any sense, and no promo was going to change that unless they were going to turn McIntyre heel and he was going to just start insulting all of the Legends. So I don't want to hear, well, they ran out of time, Solomonster. No, they ran out of time, all right. They ran out of ideas is what they ran out of. No promo would have made any sense out of that. So that was day one. When Goldberg went, that's not even Goldberg's fault. Goldberg just shows up and does what they tell him to do. They call Goldberg and say, hey, Bill, we need you to come in. We're going to pay you a lot of money. Okay, sure, I'll be there. He's got two matches per year on his contract. He shows up. He does what they tell them, what they tell him to do. I don't even blame him. But none of this made any sense from day one. And what it was a panic move. Because in Vince McMahon's mind, he realized, oh shit, we haven't really built anybody up enough for Drew McIntyre to go in the ring with, which he did. Again, I already mentioned who. This was a total panic move. It was a reactionary move because they were dragging their feet. They waited too long. Now it's Royal Rumble season, and they felt, well, we don't have a big challenger for Drew McIntyre. Well, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Goldberg should not be challenging for a championship. Said it before, I will say it again. Goldberg has no business challenging for the WWE title. When Goldberg came back in 2016, within 3 months after he beat Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, within 3 months, he was the Universal Champion. He beat Kevin Owens, he became the Universal Champion, and he lost the title to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Last year, he beat The Fiend in Saudi Arabia. Don't even get me started on that. He beat The Fiend in Saudi Arabia, and he won the Universal Championship again. Again. They put the title on him because they wanted to do Bill Goldberg against Roman Reigns. Again, a big marquee match at WrestleMania. Spear against spear. Georgia against Georgia Tech. Who gives a shit? I don't even know if people from Georgia... I'm not even shitting on Georgia. I don't know how many people from Georgia even give a shit about Georgia versus Georgia Tech in the context of Goldberg and Roman Reigns. But that's how they were building this thing up. And then we all know what happened. Roman pulled out of the show. They couldn't do the match. But Goldberg lost the championship to Braun Strowman instead. Terrible match. Terrible match. I mean, I didn't want them in there for too long anyway. It was very quick. That's the best thing I can say about it. Nothing memorable about that match at all. The circumstances were what they were. They were in an empty warehouse. Awful. Dreadful. Goldberg has never been WWE champion before. That is how it should stay. That is how it should remain. There's absolutely no reason for him to challenge for the WWE title, but there is absolutely a place on the card for Goldberg. So I want to make that very clear as well. I know it says, oh, you're just piling on Goldberg. I'm piling on Goldberg challenging for and potentially winning the WWE Championship. I'm not saying that Bill Goldberg, because we know he's going to wrestle. He's under contract. He has to wrestle. He's made it clear. He's under contract for two matches per year until through the end, I think, of next year. Unless he's extended his deal. This is what he himself said. It's not a big secret. So I know he's going to wrestle. I know he's going to be around. I think Goldberg has a place on the show because what he does bring to the table, he is older, he's grayer, he's not the Goldberg he was of 20 years ago. But there is a certain authenticity that he has. I thought the way they used him on Monday night, if you were going to use him on the show, was perfect. It was the perfect use of Goldberg. He came out, he didn't say much. I think he maybe said one line. He gave The Miz a spear. McIntyre gave Morrison a claymore. They came nose to nose, and that was it. In and out. Just like his matches in WCW back in the day. In and out. That's what got him over. There's other people on the roster that you can match him up with in a big marquee match. It doesn't have to be for the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship or the main event of WrestleMania. That's been my gripe about this whole thing. Because I can see where this is going. That's my gripe. Not that Goldberg is on the show at all. You know, if you saw my Twitter a few weeks ago, I remember 2 weeks ago maybe, I was going through some stuff in my closet. I was cleaning out some stuff. And I was cleaning out a lot of VHS tapes. And I came across one tape from 2003. WWE Unforgiven 2003, and I scribbled on the label on the tape, Goldberg wins title, and I put an exclamation point. So excited. I don't think I was excited. It was just, there was a big title change on the show. Exclamation point. That was 2003. Here we are in 2021. And Goldberg is still challenging for the top title in the company. Not just a title, the top championship. That's pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic. And if you can't see that, then I don't know what you're looking at. Drew McIntyre should win this match. And I may be going against my better judgment here, because this is WWE, and you can always rely on WWE to top their previous bad decisions with even worse ones. I'm predicting a Drew McIntyre win. I am going to say that Drew, I feel like I'm going out on a limb here, but I predict that Drew McIntyre will retain his WWE championship. This should go no more than 5 or 6 minutes. It's the blueprint for the Brock Lesnar-Bill Goldberg match at WrestleMania 33. That went about 6 minutes, and it was a very good 6 minutes. That is as long as this match should go. Kicks out of a Claymore. Give him that, okay? Nobody kicks out of a Claymore. Let Goldberg kick out of a Claymore kick. Drew McIntyre kicks out of a spear. He eats two more. Goldberg tries for the jackhammer. Drew slips out, shoves him into the ropes. And when Goldberg is going to attempt another spear coming off the ropes, boom! Claymore kick. Eats a foot right to the face. 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre retains the WWE Championship. End of story. That's how the match goes. I just mapped out the whole match. Easiest match in the world to book. When the match is over, Bill Goldberg, the man who accused Drew McIntyre of being disrespectful, goes over like a man, and he puts his hand out, and they shake like men. That is how that match should go down on Sunday. Time and again, WWE, they look to the past because they have no faith in their present. This is one of the biggest problems that WWE has right now. I like seeing big stars from time to time. I like seeing big stars pop up every now and then, and if they have something to contribute, it's good to see them. We haven't seen them in a while. Every now and then, you might even get a great comeback story. But this company, I mean, this is the biggest bunch of star fuckers I've ever seen in my life. Whether it's celebrities, whether it's just bringing back old wrestlers, constantly breaking the glass, pulling the emergency lever. This company is full of star fuckers like I have never seen before. They love their stars. They love their stars so much that they have failed to create new ones. Time and time again. Drew McIntyre is a star. Seth Rollins is a star. Daniel Bryan is a star. Kevin Owens is a star. They're not superstars. They're not megastars. That's the difference. And you can blame the talent only to a point, but at some point you also have to look at the company itself and say, there may be a larger problem going on here, that we're in 2021 and still, this is a company that is relying so heavily. When WrestleMania rolls around, even outside of WrestleMania, still to this day, even as these guys slowly age out, Triple H is aging out, Chris Jericho, he doesn't even work there anymore, Undertaker is supposedly done. I don't know that I believe that, but that's what he keeps telling people. Even as these people continue to retire and to age out, this is where it's going to ultimately come back to bite them. Sting now is with AEW. When Goldberg is done, who else do they have? Who do they look back on? I mean, good luck getting The Rock and John Cena to come in anytime you need them. They're not going to be available. They're going to run out of names at some point. So when WrestleMania 38 and WrestleMania 40 come rolling around, and when you don't have Bill Goldberg anymore and Triple H is done, what is WWE going to do for their big marquee match? When they realize we haven't done a good job of creating marquee stars since those guys left. Then it comes back to bite them. You will never have another Goldberg or another John Cena if you do not trust enough in these people, in this talent roster that you have now to deliver for you, to give them the ball, to let them run with the ball and see how far they can go. You're never going to find that next star. Goldberg cleanly beating Drew McIntyre would be a slap in the face. Now, what they could do, and I am sticking to my prediction, but this is the sort of fuckery that I could see them doing, because The Miz has the Money in the Bank briefcase. Let's not forget about Le Miz. Miz has the Money in the Bank briefcase. The Miz has no business even sniffing the championship right now. I mean, Miz and Morrison, I'm so sickened at this point when they come on my television. I just have the urge to fast forward everything that they're in. It's funny, The Miz calls Miz TV the most must-see WWE show. Any segment with him now is the complete and total opposite of must-see. This is the level I have reached. But they gave him the Money in the Bank briefcase back. He is in possession of it again. He already tried to cash in once and make it a triple threat, and he failed. Well, what if he tries again on this show? Cashes in before the match is over. Tries to make this a triple threat. And instead of Drew being pinned by Goldberg pins The Miz to become WWE champion. Because he could pin The Miz. The Miz is a fucking loser. So Goldberg can pin The Miz. That's their way of protecting Drew. Drew doesn't have to take the losing fall. But they get the title off of Drew. And then at WrestleMania, they give Drew the big title win and a big stadium that he was deprived of having last year. And he takes the belt back from Bill Goldberg. If he doesn't get pinned, it's more tolerable, I would say, that way. And it gets the briefcase away from The Miz, which would be a plus. But do we really need another 2 months of Bill Goldberg as WWE champion? Until WrestleMania, and they got two more pay-per-views after this. You're not getting two more matches out of Goldberg. Put the title on him now, you're probably not going to have your WWE champion on those shows. Or at least one of them. Do we really need that? The only thing is, I just don't know where else The Miz stuff goes. I don't know what else you do to resolve that. I don't know why they would have put the briefcase back on him if they weren't going to give him the title, and I don't even want to think about that. Miz winning the title at this point, honestly, would be an even bigger joke than Goldberg being crowned champion. We have the women's Royal Rumble match. 30 women Royal Rumble, the winner challenging for the championship of her choosing at WrestleMania. I mean, that's what they've said about the men's match. So I assume the same rules apply for the women's match. I think that's how they're working it this year. I feel like sometimes they go back and forth on that rule, but I'm pretty sure this year the winner can choose the champion that they want to face at WrestleMania. The names that we know so far include Bayley, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, Peyton Royce, Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, and my pick for the Royal Rumble, Tamina. No, kidding. Ronda Rousey is teasing people on Twitter. Somebody before sent a super chat and asking me, who do I think has the better chance of showing up on Sunday, Brock Lesnar or Ronda Rousey? I don't think it's going to be Ronda Rousey. I think she's just screwing around with people. I don't think she's going to show up. But could Becky Lynch be an entrant? There's a name that hasn't been talked about enough. Becky Lynch had a kid. It's going to be 2 months, I think, right? The beginning of December, I think, is when she gave birth. And I'm sure Vince McMahon would love to have Becky back. I'm sure he's probably phoning her every day. How you feel? You working out? You feeling good? I got an idea for you. You know Vince McMahon would love to have Becky Lynch back as soon as possible. Could she be a surprise entrant in the Rumble? I mean, if she is, I think she's probably winning the whole thing. I'm going to say she's not in the Rumble. But like I said, if she is, I think she would win the whole thing. Could Sonya Deville in her new assistant's role on SmackDown, she's kind of an assistant to Adam Pearce. Could she... if she has any authority at all, could she get herself into the Royal Rumble match. It's possible. Right? I mean, anything is possible. Of the names that have been announced, there are four who I believe have the most potential to win this match. Really, the only four names I see. Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Bayley, and Bianca Belair. Those are the names. Two from Raw, two from SmackDown. No one would be surprised to see Charlotte Flair win the Rumble for a second time and go on to WrestleMania again and challenge Asuka for the Raw Women's title. Nobody would be shocked by that. I'm thinking that's not where they're going, but that would probably be the least surprising outcome of this match. I said earlier, I think Lacey Evans, if she doesn't get involved in the women's tag team title match, both of them are going to be in the Rumble. And clearly this thing with Lacey is going to continue on. Ric Flair will be there. Maybe he'll get involved. I think Lacey and Charlotte either end up kind of eliminating each other, or Lacey will shockingly eliminate Charlotte Flair to continue that issue, maybe into the next pay-per-view. This is not going to be a rest. Believe me, Charlotte, whatever Charlotte's going to be doing at WrestleMania, it's going to be more high profile than a match with Lacey Evans. So if this spills over into another pay-per-view, this will be over by Elimination Chamber. This ain't going to go on for much longer. I don't see this going on for much longer. But I think there's going to be something going on between them and the Rumble, so I don't think it's going to be Charlotte. I don't think it's going to be Charlotte. Now, if Bayley wins, we get the WrestleMania match against Sasha that we've never had before. They've had some great matches together. Never had a singles match against each other at WrestleMania. And there was a time a few months ago where I was hoping that maybe they could stretch this out a little bit, right? They did the injury angle with Sasha, and she was doing some stuff with the Mandalorian. And I said, you know, if you could just get two other people, whoever it is, maybe someone like Trinity. What's her name? I keep calling her by her real name. Feel the Glow. Naomi. There you go. I don't know where she's been. I don't know if she's nursing an injury or dealing with some other personal issue, but you could have slotted one or two people in there until Sasha was ready to come back. Have Sasha win the Rumble and then go on to challenge Bayley at WrestleMania, and they have an all-time classic. But they blew their load, and they had their match at Hell in a Cell, and it was great. Now it just feels like old hat if they go back to it again. You've already done it. You could do it. I don't doubt they would go out there and kill it and have a great match, but I don't know. It just feels like it's been done. You could come up with something that people haven't already seen in the last few months at WrestleMania. Of the choices, though, that I mentioned before, there's only one person who makes sense to me the most, the match that I want to see, the money match, in my opinion, for the women at WrestleMania, for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And that is Bianca Belair. That is Bianca Belair. And if you would have asked me a few weeks ago, who do I think is going to win the Royal Rumble? I would have told you Bianca Belair. I'm going to go a different way with my prediction, though. And if you listen to my 2021 predictions a few weeks ago, you know exactly where I'm going with this, because I already told you what my prediction was going to be for the Rumble. We've heard about a couple of NXT names that are going to be called up any week now. Damian Priest is probably going to end up, I'm guessing, on SmackDown. And I'm thinking Rhea Ripley is going to end up on Monday Night Raw. That Raw women's division could really use the help. It could really use somebody like her. I think Rhea Ripley is on her way to the main roster. I think Rhea Ripley is on her way to Raw. I think Rhea Ripley is going to be a surprise entry in the Royal Rumble match. And I think Rhea Ripley is going to go on to win the women's Royal Rumble match. So I am picking Rhea Ripley to win the Women's Rumble. And then she gets to choose which champion she wants to face at WrestleMania. Now, I think that she's going to take her time in making her choice. And I think between now and WrestleMania, whether it's Elimination Chamber or whether it's Fastlane, they can wait until Fastlane. Fastlane, I think, is March 21st. We still have 2 months before then. But I do think that when the Asuka and Charlotte team implodes, it will result in a match between Charlotte Flair and Asuka. And Charlotte will win the Raw Women's title. She will take the Raw Women's title from Asuka. Sucks to be Asuka. She's the odd woman out. But I think when Charlotte wins that title, Rhea will make her decision, and her decision will be to go after Charlotte Flair and the Raw Women's title. And it brings that story full circle from last year when they had their match at WrestleMania 36, and she lost the NXT Women's Championship to Charlotte. Rhea has not been the same since that match. She lost in an excellent match to Charlotte Flair. They had a great match at WrestleMania. And Rhea had some enjoyable battles with Raquel Gonzalez later in the year, Halloween Havoc, and again at New Year's Evil. But she has not been the same. Whatever momentum she had coming into the new year last year, it all seemed to just evaporate when she lost to Charlotte at WrestleMania. So what better way to kind of bring her up and bring that story back around is the story of redemption. Charlotte, last year, you took something away from me that meant the world to me. Now I'm going to take something away from you that means the world to you. And what better way to establish somebody new on the Raw Women's roster than to have her go to WrestleMania and beat Charlotte Flair and become the Raw Women's champion? That is how Rhea Ripley gets her mojo back. That is how Rhea Ripley gets back to her winning ways. That is how you establish a new star on the roster. She wins the Rumble, she goes to Mania, she beats Charlotte. They shouldn't mind it. Every time Charlotte wins and loses a title, it brings her one step closer to her father's record. She'll hit 16 before the end of the year. No big thing for her to win and lose a title. I think that's the story. That's what I think. That is where I think this is going to go. She could avenge that loss and just immediately establish herself as a dominant force on Monday Night Raw. And hopefully not go the way that some other people have gone when they get called up to Monday Night Raw. Let's hope. Ricochet, among others. Then we have the 30-man Royal Rumble match with the winner challenging for the championship of his choosing at WrestleMania. They have really been emphasizing that point on television. And I don't believe that is by mistake. That is very much by design. Bad Bunny is going to not be in the Rumble. Bad Bunny is going to be performing at the Royal Rumble. His single, Booker T, off of his new album. That is Bad Bunny's single. It's called Booker T. Now, if we're going to get Bad Bunny performing Booker T at the Royal Rumble, and we don't get Booker T as a surprise in the Royal Rumble, well, then what the hell are we even doing here? I've seen Booker. Not in person, but I've seen him on interviews and such and photos. He keeps himself in shape. If Booker T wanted to be in the Royal Rumble, I think he would hang just fine. So I'm going to guess we're going to see a Booker T cameo on Sunday. The names announced so far. Uffman wants to know, what the hell is a Bad Bunny? I was asking myself the same question. I had to look him up. But apparently he's a thing. I've not heard this song, by the way. I've not heard this Booker T song. I will have to go listen to it when we're done here. The names announced so far include Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Mustafa Ali, Jeff Hardy, Bobby Lashley, The Miz, John Morrison, Shinsuke Nakamura, Randy Orton, Otis, Matt Riddle, Sheamus, AJ Styles, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and the Rated R Superstar, Edge. 6 days before the Royal Rumble, they announced that Edge is going to be part of the match on Sunday. And look, I'm not as bothered as other people were. I know a lot of people were really upset. Oh, they spoiled it. Why do they always have to give away all the surprises? We're so close. They could have saved them as a surprise for the Royal Rumble. Look, nothing is going to top Edge's return last year in a packed stadium after 9 years away, coming out to his song and his pyro, and getting that kind of reaction. You can't top that. You cannot top that in a fan-free Royal Rumble. So you already know that. You got the big surprise last year. There is no bigger surprise than Edge showing up after 9 years, in retirement for 9 years. And he shows up in the Royal Rumble. That's one of the greatest Royal Rumble moments in the history of the event. So the fact that we already got that last year, that to me was a far bigger surprise than any Edge return, which I think most people would have expected him anyway to be there. That doesn't bother me. Edge sent in a taped promo, and this is the other reason why they did it the way that they did. They wanted you to see this promo. Edge sent in a taped promo from the ring. He has a ring set up at his home in North Carolina. He had the company ship him a ring when he was training for his initial comeback. I guess they just let him keep it so he can work out any ring rust and train at his home in North Carolina. So he talked about going to bed after WrestleMania 27. You remember, he defended the championship against Alberto Del Dipshit at WrestleMania 27. Defended the World Heavyweight title. He retained the title successfully in the opening match. And when he laid his head on the pillow that night, he was the World Heavyweight Champion. He was on top of the world. Within a week, he says he was forced to forfeit the title. So from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And he remembers telling his mother that he wanted to be a wrestler, and she encouraged him and told him, you go do it. If that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to be, then that's what you have to go do. You have to go ahead and chase down your dream. That's a real parent. Not dissuading him from his dream, but encouraging him to go after it. And he said that her words were the jet fuel that put the fire in his gut for 9 years to get his dream back. It's all he could think about was one day being able to come back to the ring. Then at Backlash, he tore his triceps, which was another reminder that everything can be taken away from him just like that. In a moment's notice, it can all be taken away. Says you have to fight. His mom would tell him to go do it. And with that, he announced that he was officially declaring himself an entrant in the Royal Rumble match. Now, he said that he knows it's not going to be like last year because the stakes are higher now. The window closes on him more and more with each passing day that goes by. He gets that much older. He knows that that window is closing in on him. He needs to take back what's his. He's going to fight to make his dream come true. He says a world without dreamers and fighters was a much less magical place. And he quoted Henry Ford, and he said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And he ended the promo with, well, I think I can. I'll see you at the Rumble. An outstanding promo. That is how you do a fucking wrestling promo. Pure babyface promo, the old veteran trying to make that big comeback, trying to get one last shot at glory that was denied to him for all those years. I thought this was just an outstanding promo. And not only, it was such a good promo that it single-handedly turned me on the finish of this year's Royal Rumble match. When I was thinking about coming on here earlier in the week and doing a prediction stream, I've talked about it on the show. I think I've told you guys who I would like to see win the Royal Rumble. And when I knew I was going to do this stream, I had a different, completely different finish in mind than I do now. That one promo changed my entire perspective on how I think this Royal Rumble not only should play out, but I think is going to play out. There are two people right now who I am, in my mind, thinking are the only two people who should be under consideration to win this year's Royal Rumble match. One of those people is Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has been on TV talking about the one thing that he's never done in his WWE career is win the Royal Rumble. How cool would it be for me to go in there and win the Royal Rumble? I've got to do it. He's been training. He's been losing a lot of matches on TV as well, which to me was kind of a tip-off that he might be winning on Sunday because he's been doing a lot of losing. He's lost to Cesaro. He's lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. He might have lost one other match, too. Daniel Bryan has a history with Roman Reigns. There is a history there. But there's a history that goes even beyond like a personal history between them. And it goes back to 2014. It goes back to 2015. And part of the fan backlash against Roman Reigns at that time was not Roman's fault. It was not his fault at all. It was purely the company's fault. It was their short-sightedness in booking a Royal Rumble match 2 years in a row. But that one in 2015, that is one of the worst Royal Rumbles. That may be the worst. That may be the worst Royal Rumble match that I've ever seen. Purely because of the incompetence in the booking of the match that night. And I still remember the whole finish with Big Show and Kane, one by one, single-handedly eliminating anybody that the fans may have possibly cared about, because they sure as hell didn't care about Roman Reigns. At least not in the building that night they did. And every time they would dump out somebody else, whether it was Dolph Ziggler or whoever it was, you can see people's souls being crushed a little bit more each time. But I think back to Daniel Bryan's elimination that year and how the idea in their mind, this is how these people think. They thought that by eliminating Daniel Bryan early in the match the way that they did, which was such a just a nothing elimination, we'll have the fans just get it out of their system. And by the end of the match, they'll be cheering Roman Reigns when he wins the Rumble match. It's not how it went down. And anybody with half a fucking brain could have told you that's not how it's going to go down. They shat on that match something fierce like I have never seen before. The people let it be known. They were not happy. Remember the look on The Rock's face when The Rock came out to raise Roman's hand and endorse him? The look on The Rock had this look on his face like, huh, wasn't expecting that. There's a history there. You can play off that history. Paul Heyman would have a fucking field day with the promos building up a WrestleMania match between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. So he was my pick before to win the match. The other name is Edge. Now, I just assumed that Edge was coming back and going to have a third match with Randy Orton. I had no interest in seeing it because we've already seen them wrestle twice. Edge now is going to be back for a year, even though he missed most of it. And he's still wrestling with Randy Orton. Why? Why do we need to see that? Then I saw that promo on Monday night. And if this were any other wrestling territory like back in the day, and you had this big babyface, big star coming back, cutting that kind of promo, you would be insane not to send him to the pay-per-view and do anything but win. Because it's just such a, it's like a gimme. The story, they're handing you this golden story. It's too good to pass up. Edge is my pick to win the Royal Rumble. I think that Edge should win the Royal Rumble. I think that Edge is going to win the Men's Royal Rumble for 2021. I think he's going to win the Rumble 10 years to the very event. The last time he won the Royal Rumble was 2010. Funny enough, he was a surprise in the Rumble that year. He was coming back from an injury. Boy, Edge has had a lot of injuries in his career. I'm starting to realize Edge is quite injury prone in his career. But it was 10 years ago. Actually, I take that back. I'm wrong. It's 11 years. I just fucked up. I'm thinking back to his first Rumble win. It was actually 11 years ago. But regardless, he won a Royal Rumble once before, coming back heroically from an injury. Now, he went to WrestleMania that year and he lost, which was kind of bizarre. But I think he's going to do it again. I think history is going to repeat itself on Sunday. But I think Edge wins. I don't see Edge challenging Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. No. No. Or if Goldberg wins, challenging Goldberg, you could do Spear versus Spear. No, I don't see that at all. I think that Edge challenges the Tribal Chief for the Universal title at WrestleMania. The Universal Championship, the one title that Edge has never held. He's been WWE champion. He's been world heavyweight champion. That title doesn't even exist anymore. The Universal title is one that Edge has never held before. Edge talked about it in his promo. He was the champion. He never lost. He had it taken away from him. Now he wants to get his gold back. The specific gold that he held no longer exists. Well, this is the next best thing. They could still come back to Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan after WrestleMania. I still want to see the match between Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. But it doesn't have to happen at WrestleMania. You could still get to that match at some point. Reigns and Edge would be a marquee match that's never been done before. Even Reigns and Bryan has been done before. Roman Reigns and Edge, it's not a match that we've ever seen. And it is also, I guess, the whole spear. I mean, to me, the whole spear versus spear thing, I keep saying it because that's how I feel like they would partly promote it, market it. I don't really see that as being a big deal. Even though Roman, I think, Roman does a better spear than Edge does. Actually, Goldberg, to his credit, Goldberg does a better spear than either one of them, if we're being honest. But that, I think, is the big marquee match that they go for at WrestleMania. And I like the story of Edge feeling like this is his last chance. It's his last chance to reclaim something that he never actually lost. I think it's a great story. And you know what the best part about it is? The best part, it gets him the hell away from Randy Orton. I mean, it's a win-win situation. It finally gets him out of this Royal Rumble, like a Royal Rumble comeback where he just goes right back to the same guy again. Because Randy Orton's a little bit busy right now. He's busy getting burned. He's busy burning people alive and beating up women. Randy's having a ball. He doesn't need Edge. Now, in case anybody turns around and says, well, Sala Monster, let me play devil's advocate here and say that you're being a hypocrite. Aren't you being hypocritical? Here on the one hand, you're saying that you don't want to see Goldberg, the part-time guy, come back and either win or challenge for a championship at WrestleMania. Well, what makes him so much different than Edge? I mean, Edge is a part-time older guy coming back, and you're putting him in the WrestleMania main event against Roman Reigns. That's where the similarities end. The story here works. With Goldberg, he had his story in 2016, and this is the biggest difference between the two. And Goldberg is older than Edge, and there's a lot of other differences too. But the biggest one is that Goldberg had his story in 2016. Goldberg came back. He was the aging gunslinger, right? He was the aging gunslinger who wanted to show his boy, who had never seen him wrestle before. It was so important to him that his son had the chance to see him be Goldberg. He had to prove to him and show him that he could go out there and be the Goldberg that everybody else remembered. That was the story. And he went out there and he beat Brock Lesnar in less than 90 seconds. Then he won the championship. It became a whole big thing. I mean, originally it was going to be one and done, but it turned into this whole storyline that took them into WrestleMania. That was the story, though. Goldberg got his run. He got his run. He came back. He won the championship, and he lost the championship. And that is where the Goldberg story, in terms of the championship, ends. That's it. Edge never had that. Edge has been gone for 9 years. So Goldberg had his story. Now it's Edge's time. There's a story that you could tell, a similar story now with Edge. It's a little bit different, but same general idea. And that is the biggest difference between the two of them. And Edge doesn't need the title, by the way. I'm not sitting here telling you that Edge should go to WrestleMania and be the one to beat Roman Reigns. Quite contrary. I probably would have Roman Reigns win at WrestleMania. I don't even think I would take the title off of him at WrestleMania. Edge can go and fall short. He can go and fail. The good guy doesn't always win in real life. So I'm not even saying that I would belt Edge, that I would put the championship on him. But that's the difference when it comes to me being okay with the Edge story and not wanting to see Goldberg hold another title. Now, the only thing with Edge winning, I drew number 21 in this year's Royal Rumble pool in our Facebook group. 21 is not a bad number. If you're going to be in the Rumble, you want to be between 20 and 30. But 21 happens to be the number that Edge entered the Royal Rumble in last year. So if my prediction is true, Edge is not coming back and winning the Royal Rumble from the exact same spot that he entered last year. So I'm probably not winning the pool for the men's Rumble. So the best I could hope for is whoever wins the women's Rumble. I need whoever wins the women's Rumble, Rhea Ripley, I need her to enter at number 21 so I can win my pool. But then there's this. Oh, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Because there's more. From WrestleVotes on Tuesday. And I only keep mentioning, why do you keep mentioning WrestleVotes? I mentioned WrestleVotes because WrestleVotes has been right way more times than he's been wrong. He or she or it or whoever it is. Far be it for me to give away their identity. But this tweet caused a lot of chatter this week as it pertains to WrestleMania. The Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Sorry for the lack of details here, but still noteworthy in my opinion. Had a brief conversation earlier with a source regarding the men's Royal Rumble match. They said, quote, there is a finish that scares the death out of me, and it is legitimately getting heavy consideration. And I think to myself, what the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean that somebody would be terrified at this potential finish to the men's Royal Rumble match? My first thought is Goldberg loses to Drew McIntyre. Maybe Miz cashes in, Drew beats Miz to protect Goldberg, but then Goldberg enters and he wins the Rumble match and then he challenges Roman Reigns. That would be pretty fucking terrible. That's one possibility. Brock Lesnar is, as far as we know, not under contract with WWE. He has not. Look, he could have secretly signed a deal and we're not aware of it. I fully expect Brock Lesnar is going to be back. Of course, Brock Lesnar. What's Brock going to do? What's Brock going to do? Even if Brock stays out a little bit longer, if Brock stays out another year, Brock Lesnar is going to want to come back and do something. Every year that goes by, Brock Lesnar is getting older. He's not going back to UFC. He might tease it, and ESPN and all these outlets will fall for it. Oh, Brock Lesnar, he might come back to the UFC. No, he's not. If he's going to come back, he's going to come back to WWE, and he's going to come back for the payday. The only question is when. Now, if Vince McMahon is in panic mode and he's looking for marquee stars, well, you know, there's one sitting on his ass at home. You know he's going to be tempted to bring back Brock Lesnar, so maybe Brock is a surprise winner in the Royal Rumble this year. Brock being a surprise winner, as much as I enjoyed him in last year's Rumble match, which he did not win, that isn't much better than Goldberg winning. I almost put that on the same level. That would be pretty fucking terrible, too. I don't want to see that. Loved his involvement in last year's Rumble. I had that Rumble match on my top 10 matches of 2020. I don't want to see Brock Lesnar come back and win the Royal Rumble. Although, Lesnar coming back and challenging Paul Heyman's new guy. Now that Paul Heyman is managing Roman Reigns, I think I would be okay with it as anything but this year's WrestleMania main event. Anything but being this year's WrestleMania main event, that is a story that, yes, at some point, I think when Brock comes back, you can explore that story. So then I keep thinking, well, what else could it be? Braun Strowman has been missing in action ever since TLC, right? Right before, right? Isn't that why they changed and they went with somebody else, I think, in the title match? It might have been Drew and Braun, and they went instead with Drew and I guess it was AJ. Supposedly, he had like a minor knee injury, and haven't heard any updates on Braun Strowman. He keeps posting pictures on social media of him training and working out, so obviously he's probably on his way back very soon. What if Braun Strowman came back and won the Royal Rumble? God, would that be fucking terrible. That would be god-awful. What about Jinder Mahal? They just had that Superstar Spectacle show on the network. It aired just the other day. Jinder Mahal was back. Jinder winning and challenging Drew McIntyre, his former three-man band stablemate for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Does that say WrestleMania main event to you? No, you know what that says? You know what that says? That says Fastlane. That's what it says. It says Extreme Rules. Clash of Champions. Not WrestleMania main event. That would be fucking terrible. And if any of these stories are true, by the way, about them looking for marquee matches, and that's why, let's say, they're not going to go with Drew and Sheamus, you're sure as fuck not going to go with Drew and Jinder Mahal. So while I put that out there for you, I don't believe that there's any I shouldn't say any chance. But no, I don't believe that that is going to happen. Beyond that, I don't know what else that can mean. Baron Corbin winning? I mean, that would be pretty fucking awful. Yeah, if Baron Corbin wins the Royal Rumble and goes on to challenge for the championship of WrestleMania, yeah, I would say that would be pretty terrible. That would be pretty scary. So now we look ahead. We look ahead to WrestleMania. What if WrestleVotes is right? What if they're looking at four marquee matches, two per night, on WrestleMania this year? What do those matches look like? Well, now that I've given you all my predictions, let me sketch out what I think the marquee matches may be for WrestleMania this year. I told you, Roman Reigns and Edge. For the Universal Championship. I just told you what the story is for that match. That would be one marquee match. Edge trying to get the championship back. After 9 years away. And another injury. Doing it for his mom. Doing it to prove to himself that he can do it. He's going to try to be the guy to dethrone the tribal chief. That's one marquee match. Well, then what does Drew McIntyre do? If I'm right. And Drew McIntyre retains the WWE Championship, and they're not going to do Drew and Sheamus, or Drew and Sheamus and Keith Lee. Who do you put in there with Drew McIntyre to challenge for the WWE Championship? Marquee. Remember, they want marquee matches. Well, there's one name I haven't mentioned. Triple H just talked about him a few days ago. Triple H was asked a question. Is John Cena going to be at WrestleMania this year? And Triple H's answer was something to the effect of, if John Cena is free and available and able to do it, then John Cena will be at WrestleMania this year. Which is not really a commitment of any kind. But I think we're going to see John Cena at WrestleMania this year. And if so, where does he get plugged in? What about Drew McIntyre for the WWE title? If John Cena were to win the championship, it would be number 17. There you go. This company loves telling stories. You got a story right there. John Cena trying to become a 17-time world champion, breaking Ric Flair's record. They don't have to mention Flair, but just the idea that he wants to, you know, again, prove to himself that he can hang with the current crop of talent. You do Cena and McIntyre. With Cena putting over Drew. Because there's no sense in putting the title on Cena if he's not sticking around. Again, have faith and trust in your current roster. What better way to try to put them over by to have these guys come in and put the newer guys over? That could be a marquee match. So that's two out of the four. What about the other two? Goldberg is going to be at WrestleMania this year. I don't want it to be for a title. So what do? Well, if Edge is off wrestling Roman Reigns and he truly is done with Randy Orton, and I certainly don't want them to extend this stuff with Orton and The Fiend for another two or three months, who does Randy Orton wrestle at WrestleMania? You got Goldberg, you got Randy Orton. This is the match that should have been at the Royal Rumble. If Goldberg was coming out to talk about somebody who has disrespected the legends, I can't think of anybody who's disrespected the legends more Then Randy Orton, not only has he disrespected the legends, he's kicked their ass. He's beaten them up. He's embarrassed them. The guy put night vision goggles on like he was Solid Snake and beat up all the fucking legends on TV only a few months ago. I'm still wondering why he even did that. He turned the lights out with night vision goggles on and he kicked everybody's ass and he left. It's like Goldberg. I can just picture Goldberg showing up to Legends Night. He's hot, man. He's so pissed off about the disrespect being shown to the legends. He's so angry, he walks right by Randy Orton. He walks right by Randy Orton to go to the ring to accuse Drew McIntyre of disrespecting the legends. Randy Orton and Goldberg, it's a natural match. We haven't seen that match since 2003. Randy Orton, that was a very different, very young Randy Orton back then. There's your story. Bill Goldberg wants to go after somebody who's disrespecting the legends. You go after the legend killer. You go after Randy Orton. So there's your third marquee match. What about the fourth one? Now this one, I'm not really all that enthusiastic about. But I have come to accept the fact that we are going to get the obligatory Triple H WrestleMania match. I guess we didn't get one last year. But WrestleMania 35, 34, 33, 32, 31, on and on and on. Triple H has got to get his WrestleMania match. Right? AJ Styles has made no bones about the fact that he wants a match with Triple H. He's done interviews, even recently talking, oh, I would love to wrestle Triple H, man. I'm going to try to get him to come out of, you know, whatever, semi-retirement and have a match. Well, look, if I never see another Triple H match again, it wouldn't be a day too soon. Triple H has, he has aged. And I just find his matches now to be very plodding and very boring. I really don't have any interest in seeing Triple H wrestle at WrestleMania anymore. But if there's going to be a Triple H match, and if AJ wants the match bad enough, AJ Styles has no opponent, AJ Styles deserves a marquee match at WrestleMania. And if he's not going to be challenging for a championship, the next best thing would be to put him in the ring with Triple H. If anybody could give Triple H a really good WrestleMania match here at this point in his career, it's going to be AJ Styles. I think those are your four marquee matches that WWE is looking for WrestleMania this year. Reigns and Edge, Cena and McIntyre, Goldberg and Orton, AJ and Triple H. You put two on Saturday, you put two on Sunday. As far as the women go, and again, I don't know if Becky Lynch will be back for WrestleMania. If Becky Lynch comes back, that changes everything as far as the women. But on the women's side, you do Charlotte and Rhea. Like I pitched it, Rhea wins the Women's Rumble. She challenges Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's title. And on the SmackDown side, you do Sasha Banks against Bianca Belair, or you can do Sasha, Bianca, and Bayley in a triple threat match. And there is the core of your WrestleMania card for this year. That is what I think they should do. That is what I think they are going to do. And those are my predictions. Whew. That was a lot. But you guys will let me know if I'm crazy or if I'm making some sense. And what do you think about that, too? If that is the WrestleMania card, what do you guys think about that as a WrestleMania card? As far as those marquee matches and those title matches, is that a card that interests you? Is that a card that you would buy into? Because to me, it's as good of a card as they could put together at this point, given the pieces that they have. You're not going to get The Rock, not for another year or two, so forget about him. Undertaker, look, as much as I am not convinced The Undertaker is done for good, how fucking just ridiculous would it be after the send-off he got at Survivor Series in November if Vince McMahon panicked and called The Undertaker to come back for April? Even I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't think we're going to see The Undertaker at WrestleMania this year, but I do think we're going to see a lot of those other names. And like I said earlier, we'll see how the Rumble goes Sunday, and I'll be back here with you to talk all about it, because as soon as the Rumble goes off the air, you guys can come right back here. I'll be live on YouTube again, recapping the entire show and all of the ridiculously stupid shit that I am sure they are going to end up doing on Sunday, despite everything I just talked about. I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. It always burns me. No matter what, I always end up looking like a fool. So we'll be back on Sunday to talk about all of it and do the Wrestle Rumble contest. Shinsuke, J-Man says Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura, I think, is going to challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Absolutely. At Elimination Chamber. Remember, you got two pay-per-views between now and WrestleMania after the Rumble. You've got Elimination Chamber and you've got Fastlane. They're going to have somebody, not named Kevin Owens, challenging for the Universal title. Shinsuke Nakamura, I don't think, is going to WrestleMania to challenge for any championship. Maybe a tag team title. But it is not going to be against Roman Reigns. That is a match that, again, marquee, right? We were just talking about marquee. I don't see them looking at that as a marquee title match for WrestleMania. But it is a babyface for him to step on and step over en route to the big match at WrestleMania. That is how I see that shaking out. Everyone's saying Brock Lesnar. We'll see. Would not at all shock me to see Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Like I said, Brock Lesnar is going to get himself a sweet deal at some point to come back, whether it's now, whether it's later in the year. It's the best option in the world. I mean, he works limited dates. Doesn't have to get punched in the face. Makes a few million dollars. Goes to Saudi Arabia once a year, twice a year. Makes another $1 million. Best job in the world. Best job in the world. Outside of this podcast, which I greatly enjoy delivering to you every week. And I do hope you enjoy the content. You guys obviously do, because I have a whole bunch of super chats here I'm going to read through. So let's not waste any more time. This is the Royal Rumble prediction stream, so I want to hear some of those predictions that you guys might have for the big show coming up on Sunday. Tibbs with the $20. I have to admit, these days I look forward to your post-show streams more than the pay-per-views themselves. Oh, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But how sad is that, right? I mean, I'm grateful for it. I hear that from a lot of people, but how sad. How sad that people feel that way. I'm sure a lot of different podcasters and YouTubers get very similar messages. I've heard them talk about it as well. It feels like it's an epidemic problem with a lot of the wrestling fans in the community. And I wish it wasn't like that. EJ says, thanks for recommending the 2002 Royal Rumble. I'm watching both you and that show right now, and I'm really enjoying the Royal Rumble binge. Yeah, he was looking for Royal Rumble matches to watch, and I recommended, because he was going to already tackle 2001 and 2005. And, you know, 2002 doesn't probably get talked about as much as it should. I know 2002 either is possibly still or was at one time the longest Rumble in history. I think it went like 68 minutes. They had the 40-man Rumble in 2011. I would have to think that went longer, but that is still one of the longest Royal Rumble matches they've ever done. Jeff Smith with the $20, been a fan since 2015. I hardly watch the product at all anymore. Keep up through your YouTube streams and videos. Thanks for the consistent quality content. Well, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate that. Vincent Alvarado. My favorite eliminations are the ones where a guy gets hit with a move and basically throws himself out of the ring. Goldust in 06 or Jinder in 2018. Or in the case of Randy Savage, attempts a pinfall and has to propel himself out over the top rope. By the way, you like the Rumble shirt here. Representing the, it's mirrored image, but representing the 92, this is not a WWE official shirt. I think I got this from that homage or homage website. I don't know if they still have these, but I had to wear a Rumble shirt for the Rumble stream. I mean, come on, right? It only made sense. Spanish Goddess, did you hear the Amanda Huber AEW Unrestricted podcast episode? It is heartbreaking. Yes, I will talk about that on the podcast coming up on Sunday. And hopefully all the idiots that harassed this poor woman all those weeks ago Hopefully they feel terrible about themselves, but usually terrible people don't really feel terrible because they don't think they did anything wrong. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $10. Appreciate that. Christian, at last, you're on your own. What do you think Rollins will be doing at Mania? Him and Big E could have a cool intercontinental title feud. Also, do you think he'll end up in the Rumble? I don't know about the Rumble, but I was thinking the same thing about Seth and where he fits, unless they turn him babyface, which would be kind of sudden. Big E defending the championship against Seth Rollins, I think would be the best choice probably for him as far as giving Big E a big name opponent at WrestleMania. Ian Israel, Shayna Baszler deserves so much better than Botch Naya. She definitely deserves better than what they have her doing. Alex Jimenez, Rumble winner is either Brian Lesnar, Edge, or Mantar. You know what? I had forgotten about Mantar. You might be right. You might be right. Don't forget, there's a Mantar Super Chat, too. I'm just saying. Although it is kind of up there. Because it makes noise. So I can't have that as a low number. Can't be having the Mantar mating call interrupting all of the streams all the time. Jacob Donnelly hoping Bianca Belair and Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble. Funny enough, those were my original two picks, but as you heard a little bit earlier, I've settled on two other choices. But Jacob, I would have no issue with either one of them winning the Royal Rumble. Hashway, do you think Rhea Ripley... Oh, Hashway is awake. I wasn't sure. Do you think Rhea Ripley can win the Rumble and face Charlotte at WrestleMania for the title? I assume that Super Chat came in before I got to my prediction, so you and I are on the same wavelength. Yukio rules, who is your favorite Ninja Turtle and why is it Michelangelo? It's actually Leonardo. Because blue is my favorite color. So Leonardo is always my favorite turtle. Jared M with the $35 super chat drop. Where does Edge fit into this whole Orton Fiend Bliss storyline? He doesn't. He challenges Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Keep him as far away. You know, as great as that promo was from Edge on Monday night, I would keep him as far away as I possibly could from all of this magical nonsense that's going on right now with Orton and The Fiend and Bliss. Keep him far away. Edge, it's a real believable story that people can buy into. I wouldn't associate him with any of that stuff. The True Heel Master, after The Undertaker comes backstage to WrestleMania 37, he's going to drive away to Jacksonville, Florida. Well, maybe on a vacation he will. Prince Walker, yes, I saw your second super chat. Thank you. Let's see. Prince Walker, I saw Big E get his dream. Big E gets his dream match against Goldberg. Yeah, you know, Goldberg, Big E wants to face Goldberg. This is like a stupid thing he's been talking about for a long time. two big sweaty men. Well, look, Goldberg's got his two matches a year. So at some point, I do believe that we will get Goldberg and Big E. But like I said, Goldberg should not be challenging for a championship, and that includes the Intercontinental title. John Falchuk, although you know what? I have to say this. If they actually did that, if they actually did Big E and Goldberg at WrestleMania, it would at least put a spotlight at WrestleMania on the Intercontinental title. It's probably the best thing I could really say about that. But again, Goldberg just doesn't have to be involved in anything involving a championship at this point. He already won it. When he came back, he already achieved. John says Goldberg wins the belt, Hogan wins the Rumble, gets his win back from 1998. You know Hogan wants that win back, brother. Oh, I know he does. Hey, he tried to get Yokozuna into WCW before Yokozuna passed away so he can get his win back. Then Yoko said, fuck you, and he died. So that way he didn't have to put Hogan over. I'm sure it just gnaws away at Hogan ever since. Yoko is great. On that note, I believe this Sunday after the Rumble is the premiere of that new WWE Icons documentary series. And the first episode on Sunday is on Yokozuna. I am very much looking forward. In fact, of all the people they've announced so far for that series, Yoko is the one I think I'm looking forward to his the most. So if you're not aware of what that is, if you forgot about it, definitely check that out. The trailer, they have a trailer up on YouTube for it. They have footage of him just, you know, out of character backstage back in 93, just hanging out. And they talk about, you know, his weight issues that he allowed to just kind of spiral out of control. It looks really good. I forgot for a second that that's actually debuting this weekend. So that is one that I want to check out. Magician Sapphire, Drew retaining is the smart decision, and WWE and smart decisions have not had the best relationship for the past few years. Kiyoi 102, been listening since 2017 after my Japanese roommate was listening to you. Okay. Interesting. Let's see. Was listening to you compare if Okada Omega was as good as Taker HBK. Shout out to Yuta. Well, if Yuta is listening, I hope he'll tune in on Sunday. I do remember that debate, actually. Okada Omega, so that's going back, what, probably 4 years now. Probably, right? 3 or 4 years? Corbin Rogers, will Peacock move all of the content from the network over? Worried about losing classic content. Yes. I have seen nothing to suggest that they're leaving behind any content. I think that would be unbelievably stupid. I don't know why they would leave behind content. They just uploaded the first 13 episodes of Wrestling Challenge from 1986. I haven't even gotten to it yet. I cannot imagine that they would yank it after posting it. Now, what I could see is it could take a while for them to migrate everything over. So when this goes into effect, it could be a situation where not everything is there. And people are going to get very frustrated and probably be very upset. But I don't think that they're going to be pulling content or not moving content over. I just think it may take a while. But I don't see any reason why it wouldn't move over. B-Star wants to know, how big is Batista's dick? There's only one way to find out. I'll give you the same answer that Sean Oliver gave on all of those kayfabe commentary shoots. You got to ask the man himself. At Dave Batista on Twitter. Let's get answers to these questions. Jackie Williamson, after you get your vaccine, you are welcome to a free meal with drinks at Hooters. Hopefully we can get to semi-somewhat normal soon. I look forward to taking you up on the offer or just going to any restaurant. That'll be fun. I see they're about to open here in New York City at 25%. And all the restaurant owners are pissed off because 25% is nothing. If 3 out of every 4 seats are unavailable, then what's the point of reopening at all? Not a lot of very happy people. Prince Walker, if you listen to the Booker T song, you have to watch the music video. Trust me, it's better that way. I will do that. I will do that. I will check that out. Juan Ocampo, can we get an old school Vince Royal Rumble intro voice? My voice is too shot for that right now. My voice is too shot. I can't match the greatness though of those old Vince McMahon Rumble intros. Can't. That's why the 92 Rumble. I hate to keep bringing up the 92 Rumble, but when you're that great, I mean, you know. The 92 Rumble intro is still my favorite one. Of all the Vince ones that he did a few of those. That's the best one. Nothing gets me more pumped up for a Royal Rumble than watching that intro. Ali Nadim, do you think Edge should get one more world title run at some point? Doesn't have to be a long one. Something similar to HBK in 2002. I'm not against it. I don't know that it has to be at WrestleMania, but I'm not against the idea. Paul Heyman. We had Paul Heyman join us last night. Paul Heyman is the one who made the recommendation last night on the Dynamite stream that they take Britt Baker and put her together in an intergender tag team with Shawn Spears and call them Britney Spears. And I didn't really have a reaction to that because I like Paul Heyman. And I don't want to rake him over the coals here on my stream. Should WWE extend the Rumble to more than 30 to wash the stink off the winner of the biggest Rumble in 2011, who also happens to be your favorite wrestler? I don't think they have to. That's like WWE making, was it Randy Orton or something, putting the belt on him at SummerSlam that year just to not have to call Brock Lesnar the youngest champion anymore. I don't think it matters. I don't think anybody cares. Huffman Entertainment reports say 22,000-ish fans will be at the Super Bowl. Can you see Vince wanting 5 to 10K more just to stick it to the NFL like he always does? I don't know about sticking it to the NFL, but I fully expect they're going to try to get 25,000 people in that stadium for WrestleMania. I mean, that Super Bowl or not, I think he's going to want to get more people. I think 25,000 is probably the target number. The True Heel Master, since Tom Brady is in Super Bowl 55 in Tampa, WWE might as well bring John Cena back for WrestleMania 37. Nathan Cania, Rhea and Daniel win the Rumble. Sheamus and Bianca win the Chambers. Edge versus AJ Styles, Orton against The Fiend, and attraction matches Goldberg against John Cena. Yeah, I mean, Goldberg and Cena would be an attraction. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Chambers. I just sort of forget about them, honestly. When I was going through everything before, I wasn't even thinking about the Chambers, but I still think you can get to those matches I was talking about, even if you kind of incorporate the Chambers into it. But I will admit, I kind of just forgot about the Elimination Chamber stuff there. Not changing my picks, but I do sometimes just forget about the Chambers. See, I'm a creature of the old school, man. You win the Royal Rumble, you go to WrestleMania. None of this Chamber stuff. Chamber stuff, I know it's been going on now for about a decade, but to me, it's still, in terms of the pay-per-view, I mean. To me, though, it's still a relatively new concept, even though it's been around for a while. Jacob Barnes, Edge winning would be good, but I would rather see Bryan win to face Reigns at WrestleMania. And nothing wrong with that. I don't have any issue with that at all. Mark Sparrow, which brief heel run should have lasted longer? Rock in 03, HBK in 05, and Batista in 09, 2010 come to mind. Your thoughts? You know, I agree with you on all of those, and I would say of those, we didn't get nearly enough Hollywood Rock in 2003. It really sucks that run was as short as it was. Batista really was firing on all cylinders with that douchey character in 2010 also. But I gotta vote Hollywood Rock. Hollywood Rock was the best. Ace of Masta definitely does not feel like Rumble season. I know, man. It just doesn't have that same feeling. Evan Watson, is the spear versus spear match going to be Edge against Reigns? Yes, I believe it should be. Terrible Trey, stuck at home with COVID, binge watching your podcast. I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're feeling okay. I know somebody who had COVID, and at first they were fine, their taste and smell and everything was fine. And then they were complaining about the worst headaches that they've ever had. Like a migraine times 10. It's just so fucking weird the way it affects some people in one way, and then other people are just fine. And after a week or two, they're back at it. And then other people are having these debilitating headaches, or they have no sense of taste for like 6 months. I mean, look, people are dying, so I know the whole sense of taste and smell it's not that big of a deal, but even something like that, like not being able to taste food or everything that you try to eat tasting like shit for the next 9 months. That's horrifying. It's just so weird. It's so weird the way it affects people in different ways. HBK C83, unreal how flat this Royal Rumble season feels. Evan again. Could Randy cost Edge the Mania against Roman to set up a Hell in a Cell between them to blow off the feud? See, I don't think you even need to go back to that. I really don't. I really don't think you need to go back to that, other than the fact that they both have one win apiece and they might want to do the rubber match at some point. So I guess you could. I'm in no rush to go back to it. If they wanted to wait another year and kind of bring it back and have a blow-off match, I'd be okay with that. I don't know how many matches per year Edge is going to have if he can stay healthy. I would like to see Edge mixing it up with people he hasn't been in the ring with before. I think a SummerSlam match with Edge and AJ Styles would be fantastic. So I would like to see Edge and AJ at some point. I mean, there's any number of matches you could do with Edge against people that he has never wrestled against before. Luis Belmont Show. Look at this. Luis is joining us tonight on the stream. Holy shit, he's dropping a super chat too. I thought he only did that with other shows. Now he's actually dropping super chats on my show. I heard all around Los Angeles that Mayor Eric Garcetti... I knew it was going to be about Eric Garcetti. Luis is obsessed with the mayor of Los Angeles. I feel like he stalks him. Says that Mayor Garcetti might make a cameo appearance at the Royal Rumble. All right. All right, Luis. Luis is on the good stuff. Whatever Luis is drinking, it's a lot stronger than what I'm drinking. Clearly, it's a lot stronger than what I'm drinking. Paul Heyman, you think WWE or AEW should bring in Brooklyn, New York's finest Tekashi 6ix9ine to perform at one of their events? I would be fine if none of these companies brought anybody in, to be honest with you. We have Bad Bunny on Sunday. I think that's enough. Although I have enjoyed Poppy. I will say that. I didn't know who Poppy was before I started seeing her at the NXT shows. And I do enjoy me some Poppy. Poppy is good. Poppy also peed on my couch. But that's a different story. Jackie Williamson. Only some people will get that reference. Says, actually, Hooters in NYC, where I work, is now doing pre-approved private dining just to give normalcy. Customer guests get all of the waitresses to themselves. Well, I'm sure that's a very fun experience for them. I haven't even been in the city. I've not been in the city since March. And I have no plans on going back anytime soon. Food Hive, am I late to the party? Feels like an outsider. Hey, you're always late to the party. You're always late. EJ, buy or sell on these two great quarterbacks, not named Tom Brady, Peyton Manning or Drew Brees? Well, with my limited NFL knowledge, I am hardly a huge NFL fan, although I do know Peyton Manning and I do know Drew Brees. I do not know all of their statistics, but my gut is Peyton Manning. I mean, number one is obviously Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning would be, I would buy on him and sell on Drew Brees. See, the thing with Brady is, I don't want to get into the whole time. Tom Brady is about as polarizing as John Cena used to be. I don't know if it's the Boston thing or what it is, but I don't know. You look at the success that Tom Brady has had, even with Deflategate and all that stuff, and then he goes to a new team, and now the guy's back in the fucking Super Bowl. How do you hate on that? Even if you don't like the guy, you got to admit, you know, so the success speaks for itself. Mads with the super chat. Your top three women's wrestlers on the main roster. Sasha Banks has got to be at the top of that list. Sasha Banks is, I mean, everything that you could look for in, I think, one of your women's stars on the roster in terms of kind of building around them. She's got the persona down pat. She's got the attitude. Her work is good. She's unbelievably marketable. I mean, she's the total package as far as checking all the boxes that you would look for, I would think, in a women's star. Cut promos. She could be a babyface. She could be a heel. Sasha was born to be a heel. Sasha Banks really should be a heel. She's a better heel than she is a babyface, but she can play either role. So Sasha would be would be, I don't know about all three. I'd have to think about that, but Sasha would be my number one. Luis, again, what I said, what I was, oh, okay. It was supposed to make me laugh. All right, there you go. There you go. And Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble match just 7 years too late. Well, that is something that I can agree with. Unfortunately, Daniel Bryan should already be a Royal Rumble winner, and through sheer stupidity, he is not. But it could happen on Sunday. True Hill Master, I would love to see The Weeknd perform at Double or Nothing in Vegas. Well, you're assuming that there will be a Double or Nothing in Vegas this year, which I don't believe there will be. Hopefully next year, though. And Jacob Barnes with the $4. Look at that. No message. Just wants to show some love and support for the stream. Man, I appreciate that. And I think we are all caught up. Is that it? Yes, we are. All right. See, I told you guys. Oh, we got another one coming in. I told you, I read everything you send me. James, I know you talked about the Wrestle Report rumor. Wrestle votes, I think you mean. What about Cena winning the Rumble? No interest. None. None. We've seen John Cena win two Royal Rumbles before. John Cena can be on the WrestleMania card this year. I just pitched the whole idea for John Cena to challenge for the WWE title. John Cena, I don't think he needs to win the Rumble to get there. I guess the Elimination Chamber, you could say, complicates that, because if, let's say, Edge or Daniel Bryan win and they're tied up with Roman, the Chamber would then dictate who gets the shot, I guess, at Drew McIntyre. I guess in that scenario, Cena would have to win the Chamber, but I just don't have any interest in seeing Cena win another Royal Rumble. You know, if he wins one more Rumble, he ties the record. He ties Austin's record. Only Stone Cold has won that many Rumbles before. So, but yeah, I just don't have any interest. Paul Heyman, when Karen Q returns, will WWE shorten her name to just Q, based on recent events with her first name? I would think the James Bond people might have an issue with that. Do they have that trademarked? Q? When is that Bond movie coming out? Isn't there supposed to be another Bond movie coming out? I feel like it's been delayed probably, right, because of the pandemic. I have not heard anything new about that. we'll have to see. But to go back again to the John Cena thing, I've no issue with him being part of WrestleMania this year. He is, at this point, look, he's a marquee name from Hollywood who, when they can get him in there, as busy as he probably is, they would be fools not to find something for him to do. And him trying to go after number 17 seems like a natural hook for the show. You don't have the Undertaker streak anymore, so you've got to try to come up with ways to hook people in. And I think for a lot of people, the chase for number 17, either because they desperately don't want him to break Flair's phony record, even though Flair has like 23 titles, that's the real number, but the number they use is 16. So you'll have people that desperately do not want John Cena to break number 16. And then you'll have people who would love to see John Cena win the championship. But I can't imagine John Cena sticks around for very long to defend the title. So him winning the championship, I think, is something that just isn't realistic. And unless they just want the feel-good moment and then they have him forfeit it, but that would be unbelievably dumb. He comes in, he beats your main roster, the biggest star that you've built up outside of Roman Reigns on your main roster. He beats him and takes his title. And then he says, adios, I'm out of here. I mean, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. All right, listen, guys. Thank you for all of the Super Chat support. I very much appreciate it. You guys are awesome. This was a lot of fun. All your questions. Hopefully I did a halfway decent job of answering them. I am going to be back with you on Sunday night. I'm going to be back with you for the Royal Rumble recap. I'm going to be with you first on Sunday during the day for episode 689 of the podcast. That is going to be a big show. We're going to talk more about the Rumble. There's going to be more Rumble news coming out of SmackDown tomorrow night. There's going to be Rumble stuff coming out of WWE Backstage on Saturday night. We're going to talk about that. The WWE Network Peacock deal. A lot to unwrap there. Got a lot of thoughts on that. I have listened to not all, but part of the interview that Brody Lee's widow did on the AEW Unrestricted podcast. I would recommend it. It is very upsetting. It is very difficult to listen to. But she sheds some more light, some more specific details about his final days. It was even worse than I could have imagined. But we'll talk about that as well. Big history segment as well. I know a lot of you enjoy the history segments. And thank you for all the positive feedback on that. I put a lot of work and time into that, and so it's good to know that you guys appreciate it and like it and enjoy it, and I'm not just doing it for my own personal satisfaction. So you got a big podcast episode coming your way on Sunday, big Royal Rumble recap on Sunday night, big Wrestle Rumble contest that I will be hosting, picking the winners. So until then, be well, stay safe. Thank you for joining me here on a rare Thursday night. And I will see you. We got a big weekend coming up. So I will see you for a lot of action, a lot of wrestling on Sunday. Until then, take care, guys.